to the Progressive Radio News Hour. I'm Steve Lindman. My guest today is Mohammed Mirandi. Mohammed's been on before. He's associate professor at the University of Tehran. He also chairs the North American Studies Department. We want to talk about Middle East issues. Mohammed is very, very insightful about what's going on. He's right there in the middle of so much of what's happening. He writes about it. He speaks out about it. He's done it on this program. As soon as we get Mohammed on the line, I'll get him to comment. I'll be alerted as soon as we have him. But the Middle East pot never stops boiling. This morning I've been working on an article about two U.S. senators. They're not the only two U.S. senators, but two of them, a Republican and a Democrat, plan to introduce a bill that is extremely hawkish against Iran. They basically support going to war with Iran. They claim falsely that Iran is developing nuclear weapons. Obama says the same thing. I'll put in some quotes from him when he addressed the AIPAC conference a year ago, just about on this date. It was either the 3rd or 4th of March that he was there last year. And in a couple of days, AIPAC will reconvene its 2013 annual conventions, and a rogues gallery of participants will show up. Anybody who believes in equity and justice and peace wouldn't go within a country mile of the venue. It'll be in Washington. What better place than that? And you know, the politicians and the other people who support AIPAC's lawless agenda will line up and pay fealty, both to AIPAC, to Israel. They'll make their speeches. Haven't checked the schedule to see exactly who's coming, but my understanding is that Obama and Netanyahu will not be there. Well, Obama is planning a trip to Israel later in March, but it could be postponed. Israel is still trying to form its government. It elected its most hardline government in history. Israel has never had a single party win the government, win the elections, the parliamentary elections. So its government is always coalition. So the issue is forming, or let's say enlisting coalition partners, getting enough to go along with what has to be a very roguish agenda. Elections were on January 22nd. It's been some time, and there's still no government. Well, if there is no government, don't expect Obama to show up until there is one. How do you take a trip to a country when it doesn't have a government, a sitting government to talk to? Well, Netanyahu is still prime minister. He remains prime minister until a new government is formed. When it is, he'll stay prime minister. I think we've got Mohammed on the line. Mohammed, are we connected? Mohammed?
Yes, we are.
Oh, it's good to have you on.
Yes, I can hear you.
Let me let you comment on what's happening. I was talking about Obama's impending trip to Israel, but it won't happen until Israel forms a new government. It's been a number of weeks since January 22nd. Here we are on the first day of March. The trip is planned later in March, but my comment was, how do you take a trip to a country when it doesn't have a sitting government, even though Netanyahu was still the prime minister? Any thoughts on that? And also the fact I mentioned, I think before you came on, I'm writing an article this morning that two U.S. senators plan a resolution that basically wanted to declare war in Iran. Very hawkish. Or at least the option, let me put it that way, the option to declare war in Iran. It's a non-binding resolution, so it really means nothing, but the language is troubling. Anyway, Obama's trip to Israel, hawkishness in the U.S. Congress. Your thoughts on that, Mohammed?
Well, I think it basically reflects the fact that the United States is, the U.S. government is deeply influenced by the Israeli regime, and that's something that I think all Americans should contemplate. That a small colony or country of 6, 7, 8 million people, they could have such influence over the United States that the U.S. Senate and the House repeatedly pass resolutions and pass laws and acts in order to appease this small country, and the U.S. president is willing to tolerate the Israeli Prime Minister's interference in America's internal affairs by his when he basically endorsed Obama's rival in the presidential elections. And then after he endorses Obama's rival, the first country that Obama goes to or plans to go to after his re-election is Israel itself. So I think this is something that many Americans, that Americans should feel concerned about. It's disturbing, and it is, I think, humiliating for Americans to have such a political order.
Well, there's no question about that. Most Americans don't really think very much about this. It's the reason that its government literally gets away with murder, Mirandi. I've quoted an old-time U.S. media analyst who I don't believe is around anymore. I think he made this statement two or three decades ago, and he called Americans the most over-entertained, under-informed people in the world. I don't think there's any doubt about it. You could go to Dakar, Africa, and people there without the internet connections, without all the modern technology that so many Americans have, they're more savvy about what's going on in the world than most Americans. Americans worry about nonsense, you know, shopping and the latest fashions and sports and films and the rest of it. And the stuff that is most important, that touches their lives directly, if you ask them point-blank questions about stuff, they simply couldn't give you an intelligent answer. It's a national malady, but it's the truth, and it literally lets the government get away with murder. And you're right, Mohammed. But the idea that tiny Israel, with about the size that geographically, I think of the state of Maryland or New Jersey or something, with 7 or 8 million people, and a fifth of them are Arabs, Israeli Arabs. They're citizens, but they're treated like fifth column threats, not citizens. And they're marginalized, they're persecuted, so many of their rights are denied. They're simply not treated the way a citizen should be treated. And Obama waltzes into the APAC conference and makes other comments at times, and he literally pledges fealty to this disgusting country that causes so much harm to so many people. And when they partner, they literally menace humanity.
Absolutely. Although I believe that an additional paradox here is that while you are, I agree that that many Americans, if not most Americans, have very little information about the world beyond America's borders. But the fact that the U.S. government is so submissive to the Israeli regime, and the fact that the Israeli prime minister can humiliate the U.S. government, endorse a presidential candidate, and basically interfere in the country's internal affairs, runs very much in conflict with the whole notion of American exceptionalism, that some Americans believe that America somehow stands above and beyond other countries. Of course, a very flawed notion, as of course all human beings and across the globe are equal. But this paradox is somewhat perplexing for me, at least, because on the one hand, Americans who are associated with the political order, with the political establishment, those who are close to the two political parties, the Republicans and the Democrats, on the one hand, many are exceptionalists in their worldview. Yet on the other, they are completely accepting of Netanyahu's endorsement of a political candidate, and his attempt to influence U.S. presidential elections, and they are quite accepting of the fact that Obama would go to Israel immediately after he's reelected. This is something that I find very difficult to understand. This does not run in conflict with what you said earlier. A majority of Americans simply do not know what's going on beyond the borders of the United States. But those who do, apart from those who are critical and who do not accept America's foreign policy, they live with this very amazing paradox.
Well, Mohammed, Americans not only don't know what's going on beyond their borders, they don't know what's going on inside their borders. I mean, literally, I guess major things have happened in this country. My God, I mean, you could go back many years, but just in the post-9/11 era, I mean, literally, the extremism in America just intensified so much. And if you took a survey, I live in downtown Chicago, and I'd like to make a comment to the effect that if I stood on a busy street corner and I live near a number of them, and I did a survey just randomly asking people who passed by various questions, they would have no idea about, they may have heard of the Patriot Act, but they would have no idea what's in it and how repressive it is. They know there's something called Homeland Security, but they probably never heard of a Homeland Security Act. I mean, it's a National Police State Act. There are so many other laws that passed and presidential executive orders and memos and authorizations and pieces, provisions of different bills that passed, including the last 2 years, America's National Defense Authorization Act, where the military budget is passed, and there were provisions in the last 2 years where Obama, on his own say alone, can order a U.S. citizen arrested by the U.S. military, put in a military prison, left there charged or uncharged, indefinitely. They can rot there for the rest of their lives, and I'm positive I could not find one American in downtown Chicago, not exactly the woods, who would recognize, who is aware that that provision exists. It's the law of the land, and moreover, Obama demanded it be the law of the land. The Senate drafters of the bill left it out, and Obama insisted that Americans be put in the bill so that anybody could be targeted with or without evidence, and of course he has a kill list. He can target any American to be killed on his say. I wonder how many Americans know that. The U.S. media don't say very much about these things, Mohammed. They're not like Press TV.
No, you're absolutely correct. Most Americans don't know this, and I think in addition, most Americans don't know that the United States is, in many ways now, has aligned itself with the same type of forces and the same type of people who actually carried out the terrorist attacks against Americans. Installations and centers across the region, and who were led by Osama bin Laden. The United States is now allowing Saudi Arabia and Qatar to fund the most extreme ideology in West Asia, North Africa. Al-Qaeda-like groups are being funded in Syria, in Lebanon, in Iraq, in Libya, in Algeria, in Tunisia, in Egypt, and Mali, as well as Yemen, and other countries, through Saudi Arabia and Qatar. And the United States and its allies have closed their eyes to this reality, and in many ways, the United States has facilitated the movement of military to these terrorist organizations and these extremist ideologues. And this is another extraordinary chapter in American history, because on the one hand, the United States has invaded a number of countries, specifically Iraq and Afghanistan, in the name of the war on terror and in the name of fighting Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden. On the other hand, the United States is funding the very same people and ideology that they were fighting a war against for over a decade now, in Syria as well as in other fields of battle. And the spread of Wahhabism and Salafism and this form of extremism is something that will definitely have extraordinarily negative consequences for Europe and the United States, especially now that the Mediterranean, the south of the Mediterranean, is full of such groups, and Syria is now a training ground for these terrorist organizations.
Well, very true, very, very true, Mohammed. America really has been so hostile to Iran for so many years, and most everything going on in the region, I think, reflects a partnership of Israel and America. I make no bones about what's going on in Syria. I call it Washington's war. It is Washington's war. It was planned many years ago. The same thing is true about Afghanistan, about Iraq, about Libya. America's designs on Iran, that goes back to the 1979 revolution. And America is so disingenuous, you simply can't do business with America, because America, whatever the administration is, Republican or Democrat, they say one thing and do another. And your government, Mohammed, I mean, they're not stupid. I don't know what my government thinks of yours or any other, but they're not stupid. They know what's going on. They know the way Iran has been mistreated for so many years, and they know you simply can't trust American officials. We just went through the latest round of P5+1 talks. I wrote about the previous ones, and I wrote about the current ones before they began and after they were over, and I said point blank, don't expect anything to happen from these talks. I disagree with, the Iranian chief negotiator saying that there was something positive that came out of it. Well, I guess he has to be diplomatic. I find nothing positive from what came out of it. America still makes, Washington is running everything, and Israel behind the scenes is doing it as well, and they pressure the other countries to go along. The pressure can be intense. And the idea that they would want Iran to shut down a nuclear facility to stop or curtail, it's perfectly legitimate. Uranium enrichment. Dozens of other countries do exactly the same thing that Iran is doing. Iran was one of the first signatories to the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty. There's nothing, no evidence whatever that it violates its provisions. America does. Israel does. It's not, Israel isn't a signatory. Neither is India. Neither is Pakistan. I imagine the European countries violate NPT, but as far as anybody knows, Iran conforms. Iran is the most heavily surveilled country in the world. It complies pretty much with what IAEA wants. I mean, it goes above and beyond, and yet it gets beaten up and vilified wrongfully. And it's amazing. I could never be a diplomat, Mohammed. I could only put up with this kind of battering so long before I simply couldn't tolerate it anymore.
Well, I think, you know, this is a problem that the Americans have to deal with, and that is that, on the one hand, this constant demonization of Iran and the fact that the American mainstream media does exactly the same as the U.S. government. In other words, it demonizes Iran in the eyes of the American public in order to help the U.S. government justify its policy towards the country. But I think the problem that the United States is now facing is that in its ongoing war with Iran, which is, in my opinion, a very irrational war, and it comes from unreasonable hatred for the country, and it's deeply influenced by the idea of American hegemony over the whole region. But what the United States does not contemplate is that the American empire in the region and outside the region is collapsing. And America is losing its influence over North Africa and West Asia. And in its irrational war against Iran, where it supports anyone that opposes Iran, including the most extreme and dangerous groups such as Al-Qaeda, this is something that will not in the long term benefit the United States. This is something that will only in the long term make the situation more difficult for the United States. It will create greater instability in these countries. It will create greater instability in Europe, which has a large Muslim population, and where the Saudis and the Qataris are free to export their extremist version of Islam. In other words, mainstream Islam in the region is paying a price because Americans, their allies, are funding or allowing extremists to be funded, not only in the region, but in Europe and in the United States. And when you put all these together, at the end of the day, this could only mean serious trouble. You cannot allow the Saudis and the Qataris to fund enormous, huge numbers of terrorists to expand their extremist ideology through petrodollars and not face blowback yourself. The United States simply cannot escape it. Europe cannot escape it. Petrodollars cannot be limited to Syria. Petrodollars cannot be limited to Libya or Mali or to Tunisia, Egypt, and Algeria. And therefore, really, if the United States was, the government was behaving, was to behave in a reasonable manner, in a rational manner, it would actually rethink its policy and say and ask itself, is Iran a danger and threat and the extremists, or is it the U.S. ally, or the U.S. allies themselves, such as Israel, which is an apartheid state, such as Saudi Arabia, which is the family dictatorship, as is Qatar, and both fund extremist ideologies and terrorist organizations. Who is, which of these countries is the real threat and the real enemy of the United States?
Well, so true, Muhammad. I think empires don't often think rationally. The focus in America, I believe, is so much on unchallenged dominance and challenging any nation that they think can be a possible threat to that dominance. The bottom line for America really is, when you get right down to it, the Middle East is just an appetizer for challenging down the road at some point China, economically mainly, but also militarily. China is no military pushover, and Russia militarily, and it's impossible to it seems impossible to imagine that America would ever risk going to war with China and or Russia. I mean, if there's one word that would explain it, it would be madness. But I think waging war on Iran also would reflect madness. Iran is a powerful country. It certainly can inflict an awful lot of damage, both against Israel and against American facilities and ships and so on in the region. And the idea that people in America would consider going to war with Iran, it is absolute madness. And I do believe, I think there are high-level people present in government and previous officials, both in Israel and America, that absolutely understand this and want no part whatever of a war. And I just hope that they have enough influence to prevent it. I'm not sure what Obama wants. He says one thing, does another at a different time. I just reread, and I'm quoting from his AIPAC speech last year, just about a year ago today, either the 3rd or 4th of March, extremely anti-Iranian, extremely hawkish, you know, just drawing Netanyahu's red line, essentially. We will do everything to prevent Iran from getting nuclear weapons. There's no evidence whatever that Iran wants or is developing nuclear weapons. And everybody in high places knows it, but they say otherwise. But, I mean, Obama was really hawkish. He won't be at AIPAC this year. Neither will Netanyahu. What a relief. But he'll say it another time. What they have in mind is what really concerns me.
One of the things that I find interesting with regard to what you were just saying, what is the fact that the United States has to come to terms with the reality that China is becoming the new superpower, and eventually China may actually become the superpower. Yet what the United States is actually doing by demonizing Iran and constantly threatening Iran is driving Iran closer to rivals of the United States. Instead of trying to deal with Iran in a rational manner, instead of trying to improve ties with Iran and to build a stronger, at least reasonable relations between Iran and the United States, it's basically strengthening China's hand and the hand of the Russians by pushing Iran in their direction. The more antagonism towards Iran, the more incentive there is in Iran to build growing strategic relations with countries like China, like Russia, and other rivals of the United States, or potential rivals like Brazil and India. But it seems that the United States, even as it is, its fortunes are declining, and the fortunes of China are on the rise, simply the U.S. government cannot think in a in a reasonable manner with our strategic position.
Well, again, so true and so unfortunate, and you have to wonder what may result because of this. Sometimes things can happen that people just didn't plan. You get a little bit too hawkish, a little bit too belligerent, and one thing can lead to another. I mean, my God, we had two world wars, Mohammed. Weren't any lessons learned from those wars? I used a line, I said that in an article that I put out, or will put out. I forget whether I've gotten something out or about to get something out. I've got a couple written that I haven't gotten out yet. And I said, wasn't twice bitten enough? I mean, history teaches important things. America doesn't seem to learn, and the idea that attacking a country like Iran that could literally embroil the entire region, if Russia and China decided they had interests they wanted to defend, the conflict could go beyond the region, and it's possible we could find ourselves in World War III. I mean, the idea of the possibility of that happen should give any leader pause to make absolute certain it will not happen on his or her watch. That should be the number one priority. But people in America, leaders in America, don't think that way.
I don't think so, and I think it's largely because many of them are actually detached from the reality in the United States and the difficulties that our ordinary Americans are facing. The fact that Americans many have lost jobs, many are earning less, many are facing grave difficulties in just simply making ends meet, has really almost nothing to do with the lifestyle of people within the political establishment in the United States. And therefore, they are very much detached with reality. And I think that if the United States were to engage in military conflict with Iran, or even a much smaller country than Iran, I think then, it would lead to major social unrest in the United States because the economy simply can't take any more of this, and ordinary people are suffering enough as it is, and they've gone through more than enough wars. And of course, this will mobilize global public opinion against the United States in a way in which we haven't seen before, because again, the world is sick and tired of all these constant wars. And of course, as I pointed out, Iran is a small country. It is one of the most powerful countries in the world. It is the most powerful country in West Asia and North Africa, and right alongside Iran lies most of the oil and gas that is exported throughout the world. And any constant military conflict with Iran would bring about a global economic catastrophe. So I think that the problem is that these political leaders in Washington are detached from reality, both in their own country, and they really simply, out of their own arrogance, they don't recognize the reality that lies beyond America's borders.
Absolutely, Mohammed. We're just about out of time. A final thought, I want to give it to you. When the music begins, I have to end because oh my goodness, it just began. I have enough time to wrap up the program and thank you. I guess the final thought was the last thought, but I look forward to getting you back. We certainly are very much like-minded on the major issues. You're a marvelous guest. I'll send you an email after the program, and I do look forward to getting you back again. And I'll remind my listeners to tune in Saturday and Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll have more important discussions like this. Make it a regular habit.